left. Ball in towards the near post. And he's in. Spurs lead through Brennan Johnson. Vicario takes it. It's glory, glory, Tottenham Hotspur.
Tottenham currently fourth bottom in the Premier League. They'll be in the Champions League next season. Let that sink in.
To dare is to do. Son has lifted the trophy. And Spurs have won the 2025 Europa League.
Yeah, it was a mad, mad season, culminated in that Europa League win. And it's now been documented by the Sun Spurs correspondent who was there home and away in Europe and domestically, Tom Barkley, who's joined us in the studio. Hi, Tom.
Tom. Nice to be back, guys. Thanks very much.
Welcome.
Yeah, it was, I mean, Charlie was sort of saying, was it a miracle? It's a good point. You said a few people have said, oh, how much of a miracle was it? But, I mean, considering what they did domestically and what a mess they were in, I mean, it was something of a miracle that they could come away with a European trophy and a place in the Champions League.
Absolutely. I mean, it's mainly been Man United fans who've been sort of snarky. Yeah. Miracle, we were terrible. And I get that, to be fair, but it's the fact that they were so bad in the league and they still won something and they hadn't won anything for 17 years. I mean, the fact we were talking earlier about the players and how maybe in under other managers, they might well have downed tools much earlier. Some might argue based on the performances, they might think they did, but by all accounts, they were very much still with him.
Yeah.
And that in itself is pretty miraculous when you had 22 league defeats.
I mean, the second half of his first season was pretty bad and followed the similar pattern to what we saw in the second season, was picking up quite a lot of injuries, a bit of a non-existent midfield that teams found it very easy, good teams and bad teams found it easy to run through, and just fairly shoddy performances and bad results. So, was there a slight red flag going into the start of that season?
I think, personally, they could have helped him a bit more in the transfer market. I think they tried to correct that this summer by bringing in more experience. They only brought in Solanke and Timo Werner in terms of experienced players, and Werner was not up to it at all.
No.
Whereas you can see this summer, they've brought in, what, four experienced players. Paulinho, what a difference he's made already. But that's... not an excuse. I mean, it is an excuse. I think it's kind of fair, but also, you know, a lot of it obviously is on the manager. And in the book, I sort of document how he went about changing it for the knockouts of the Europa League. And even though all of it is correct, I'm still baffled myself why it didn't happen more in the league when it wasn't working. I mean, that's still something that confuses me.
Do you buy the idea that he sat down one day and said, I'm going to throw all my eggs now into the Europa League basket, and whatever happens in the league, there are three teams worse than us? Well, I mean, by definition, that's obviously what he thought. We won't go down. We'll put everything into the Europa League. And I will kind of throw away most of what I regard as my way of playing to do that.
Well, I mean, I can only go on the sort of sources I've spoken to, but I do honestly think that that was kind of the case. And the reason for that, again, in the book, is leading up to the transfer window in January. The injuries were starting to pile up and was having a knock-on effect to results. And I think he was looking at the January window, who's going to come in, how much more experience am I going to get, how possible is it to sort of turn things around at this point, having had, as I just mentioned, the summer window being a bit disappointing from an experience recruitment perspective. And once that proved to be a similar scenario, what they got, Kevin Danzo, who is an experienced player, but that was only really after Dragosin got the ACL. Kinski's obviously a backup keeper, very exciting young keeper. And then Matisse Tell, who's again another young player who's still very much a lot to prove. I do believe that was the case. And that's what he... then he went to sort of speak to the players about it, the coaching staff, and that's where it went for. But if you look at the history of his time in knockout matches, whether it be in Australia, whether it be for Australia against South Korea, it sounds so weird to say because we just think of Ange in a certain light, maybe not now because of how he won it, but he did go more pragmatic. So it wasn't just suddenly like, oh, I just need to change it. There was a sort of thinking that this has worked before for me in my previous jobs. But again, personally, I'm still confused why that couldn't have been implemented a bit more in the Premier League when clearly it wasn't working.
What about his personality, Ange's? How did that change over that season as that season unfolded?
Well, I mean, I still think he was, from a journalist perspective, absolute absolute gold dust still right until the end. I mean,
still good value. He is at Forest now, isn't he?
Like my dad's reading the book at the moment. He's not really a football fan, but he obviously he's reading it because of me. And he was going on about the bit about Ange having a bit of a rant about mobile phones in modern society and what a problem it is. And you know, there was loads of things like that, which, again, back to the journalist perspective, is fantastic. I guess from a fan's point of view, it's a nice addition, but let's be honest, it's about the football first and foremost. But it makes, I think, just going back over it, reliving it all for quite gripping sort of prose, really, that yes, we've just relived it at the moment, but I think as the years go on, particularly if either Spurs, this is the first of many trophy victories, or again, a long drought, that in time you'll look back on it, maybe 5 years or whatever, and go, yeah, that was an absolute unicorn of a season.
And the writing of the book, Tom, did you keep a diary as you went along? I know you're the Spurs.
I suppose he's keeping that in the paper, isn't he, really?
Yeah, but do you look back on your notes? Do you write the book as you go? What was your process?
Well, I wish I had written it as I went along. But to be honest, it was in my mind maybe towards the sort of knockout stages that I would like to write a book about it. Hmm. But it really depended on whether they won or not. If they didn't win, no one is going to want to relive this season. I'm not sure Paul wants to anyway.
No, I found it really tough.
But obviously, towards the end, hopefully you read the May chapter and you'll enjoy that more. Well. But then it was a pretty relentless 6 weeks of going through everything I've written, speaking to sort of new people off the back of it. Just going through everything that's already out there and sort of adding some fresh insight into it. But it was a bit of a mad 6 weeks or so over the summer, right?
It's like the Shawshank Redemption at the end when they meet.
Yeah.
They're in jail for all of it. And then at the end, they meet up on that beach.
Yeah. Similar.
I suppose what it is, it's not, if you're a manager of a football club or at any level, it's not the blueprint to winning a trophy at the end of the season, because it was nuts, wasn't it? There were so many things that happened, say, with the injuries, with the poor performances, with everything else that went on, and ultimately to get the glory at the end, it was such a strange, a bit real outlier.
And, exactly, that's what I'm saying, a unicorn of a season, very unorthodox, and that's what made it fascinating, I thought, to write about it. I mean, you've already seen now, since Thomas Frank's come in, he's a great personality, but he's a lot more sort of what you expect from a Premier manager. He doesn't really, so far, he hasn't really, you know, gone off piste with his press conferences. The football itself is generally a bit more pragmatic, back to kind of where Spurs were before, probably before Ange, which was very much boom or bust, wasn't it? Which doesn't feel maybe that sustainable, and that's maybe why he left. But ultimately, the boom was the first trophy in however long.
We still haven't seen that situation when they're buying these oven-ready players. I mean, you could argue Solanke was. He'd come off of a good season at Bournemouth, and there would be an expectation that he'd hit the ground running, but then he picked up injuries. He was very stop-start. And like, he's not really been able to start this season yet for Thomas Frank. And again, they don't pick up a player like Eze because they dithered. And you're trying to get Simons up to speed, which could take you another month, 6 weeks. And we look at Eze, it's like he's not been away. You know, he doesn't break stride because he's done it in the Premier League for years. And that always seems to... they're always hamstrung, Tottenham managers, by the fact they don't buy players that are ready to go off the bat.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I definitely think Eze would have been, as you say, the oven-ready player. And watching Xavi Simons pretty much since he's been here, he just looks like he's not up to speed yet. Mm. I suppose the big question that Spurs fans are asking themselves is, now that Daniel Levy has gone, who was very much involved in all parts of transfers and maybe one of the biggest reasons for that kind of approach, will that change? But then again, it's effectively the same owners as it has been throughout his tenure. So they're sort of dubbing it a new era. We wait to see the next window and the next window after that, if there's a change on that. And I'm sure Spurs fans will be desperate to see that.
Well, it's the idea that Joe Lewis and the Lewis family were desperate to spend lots of money on players and get glory. And it was Daniel saying, no, I'm in charge. Well, he wasn't completely in charge of the purse string. So, we have to kind of see what happens in January and next season when he's not there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. We'll wait to see. But, I mean, it feels like the Spurs team isn't far away.
No.
Like a really good side.
They're a Harry Kane away.
They're a Harry Kane away.
Coming back, Paul.
They're a Harry Kane away.
Kane and a son, the level of son on the left. I think he's already been linked, to be fair.
Well, it's a bit, reading this, Tom, it's a bit like when you've been terrible in a match, but you win it, and so you're quite happy to watch it because you know the result.
Yeah. I love this damning with faint praise.
So I can quite happily sit here and read the report of the Burnley game when we lost to Burnley, because I know ultimately it doesn't matter because we won a trophy at the end of it. So it's a lovely record for all those Spurs fans.
Thank you.
And it's a hate read for Arsenal fans, of course, if they really want to put themselves through it. It's called Miracle in Bilbao, the inside story of the Europa League triumph by Tom Barkley, published by Pitch. And it is out.
But any Spurs
now.
Fan in your life?
Oh yeah, they'll, this is great. It'll be great a great Christmas, a lovely souvenir of like the souvenir program of that season. Yeah. And we bring you Spurs at Leeds at Elland Road on Saturday. It's our game day match, 12:30 on Saturday. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, guys.